The spirit of performance defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones, from powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY, a big idea that inspired the world to invest differently, and still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
My mission is simple, to make you money. I'm here to level the playing field for all investors. There's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to help you find it. Mad Money starts now.
Hey, I'm Cramer. Welcome to Mad Money. Welcome to Cramerica. Other people want to make friends? I'm just trying to make some money. My job is not just to entertain, but to educate, teach you, put wild days like today into context. So call me, 1-800-743-CBC, or tweet me at Jim Cramer. All right, look, we know, had a great rally in the last half hour, but you have to accept, you and me, that the world has changed, and we need to change with it. From now on, when we come in on a Monday, we're not going to be focused on sales or earnings of companies, but we're going to be focused on coronavirus infections and fatalities. These days, the pandemic controls the action. You can get a bounce like we had today, one of the greatest bounces I've ever seen. Dow gained 1,985 points. S&P climbed 9.29%. NASDAQ jumped 9.35%. Yes, those are not mistakes. All in the backs of an extremely oversold position, most in years, a 2.87% yield for the Dow coming in today, and the White House has put together a private sector coalition to boost testing. But until this virus is contained or cured, or just naturally levels out, you should expect much of this gain to be repealed, more selling, and if we don't get the fiscal help needed to preserve the rudiments of our service-based economy, I think today is going to end up being a good day to sell. And it already happened, maybe Monday. Let's be real. We can't sustain a meaningful rally here as opposed to the late Friday afternoon, not to be trusted short squeeze, until we have the COVID-19 situation under control. And we can't get things under control without test kits and some sort of antibody medicine that triumphs over this scourge. We can talk about that later in the show. We know there are two paradigms here. We've got South Korea, okay, which is doing it right, right? We have Italy, which has been totally overwhelmed. So far, we seem to be following the Italian trajectory. I think post-NBA, maybe that's what changed things. It looks like we're following more of a South Korean trajectory. But we got to be watching these COVID numbers like hawk. Because if this trend continues, I predict pain. But if we can be more like South Korea, this market can catch fire, especially if the Treasury Secretary and the House Speaker hammer out a deal to tide over the entire sphere of commerce and protect the otherwise soon-to-be-unemployed working person. It is that binary. We simply won't be on terra firma as long as the corona numbers keep surging and Dr. Tony Fauci has to come out and not reassure us, because he can't, that the illness is 10 times more deadly than the regular flu. It's a fact. Who wants to go outside when every authority figure is telling you to stay home? You can't go out to eat or see a game, if any games are still being played, and stay at home at the same time. The Amazon economy, which is what we're developing, is not a sustainable economy, even if it's great for Amazon shareholders. Now, we did have a couple positives today. I like the private sector coalition that came together to boost testing. Hate him or like him, Trump put together an impressive group in no time flat. You could be cynical about Walmart and Target and Walgreens and CVS, but after a while, there's too many to be cynical about. And for the stock market purposes, we did hear some magic words this morning when Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said that he'll provide all the liquidity the markets need to remain orderly. When the Fed made that exact same statement, it in the crash of 87, terrible Tuesday, that caused the market to turn around and it never looked back. Listen.
There will be liquidity available. Whatever we need to do, whatever the Fed needs to do, whatever Congress needs to do, we will provide liquidity, and this will be an entire whole-of-government approach led by the president.
That's it. That's what you need to hear. That's what made this market go up, really. Even if we have a recession, that means we won't have a financial crisis. And even if we can just keep the system going, there's always the possibility that Regeneron or Eli Lilly, those are the ones that are closest, can come up with the treatment for the virus. I know Gilead has something similar. I expect an answer from them as soon as this month. That said, I don't like that none of these biotechs has been leaking good news. Believe me, if they had a real breakthrough, I think they'd just stop testing it and just give it to everybody immediately. On the other hand, Len Schleifer, the CEO of Regeneron, and the first guest we had on the show 15 years ago when his stock was at five, it's now 465, says he's confident in his approach and moving fast. Louis is equally confident, as you'll hear later in the show. Remember, there's always a possibility that something can go right. If somebody comes up with a viable treatment, you'll wish you bought stocks even as the crazy exalted levels we saw at the close when the shorts panicked and the algo funds exacerbated the upside just as they aggravated the downside yesterday. I don't like either side, by the way. I don't like it when it goes up like this. I don't like it when it goes down like this. That's why I think you need to buy stocks, though, with safe dividends here as well as highest growth tax. Although the key is to buy them gradually on the way down, not chase like today on a vicious artificial close up. I hate that kind of Friday rally. Why? Because it is not sustainable. So call me cautious going forward after this insanely positive day. With that in mind, can we find anything worth buying into some COVID-related weakness that I think all of us expect next week? I keep wondering, for instance, if I'm too bullish about the highest growth stocks, along with the accidental high yielders. See, in my experience, secular growth names are really the first ones to bounce back and bounce back viciously. And few companies have faster growth than Coupa Software. These guys have been on the show. The Cloud Prince. It owns the market for procurement for management software, and it's on the cloud, and it's a proven money saver for clients. Billions of dollars saved. Coupa reports if they close Monday. If they make the numbers, I bet the stock goes flying. And I don't like DocuSign, by the way, which you can hear about later in the show. Now, earlier this week, United Parcel named one of my favorite people, a new CEO, the fabulous Carol Tomei, formerly the CFO of Home Depot. Okay, that's terrific news for everyone except FedEx, which reports Tuesday. Now, here's a stock that's down nearly 30% for the year. I don't even know what to say about it, frankly. That last conference call was just open rebellion by the analysts. I used to love FedEx and love the service, of course, but it's been the toughest stock to own in a very tough group. That said, nobody knows commerce like these guys. You know what? If there's anything positive, the stock is going to roar, but I can't imagine what that would be. Still, great economist call. Tells you a lot about the economy worldwide. Wednesday's all about the Fed, and I know it's going to be boring, so I'll get up, but that's okay. We'll deal with that. I do expect another big rate cut from Jay Powell, so does everybody else. Behind the scenes, Powell's been making some reassuring noises, but I hope he takes a page from Ben Bernanke in 2009 when he said he simply wouldn't allow any more bank failures. That's not the issue this time, but you know what I'm talking about. Powell's also going to have to lay out what he can do to give lifelines to small business. And by the way, he's got to push down mortgage rates, which are stuck at 3% and change for even the best of borrowers. I mean, even though the Treasury rates are way low. I want to hear that he's working closely with Treasury to guarantee letters of credit for vital institutions that can't get them at the moment due to short-term COVID customer losses. Jay, here, listen to me, my two cents. Be creative. This is a war. Better to apologize after than to ask for permission now. It won't be granted. Or maybe you do like Nike. Just do it. We also have three important companies reporting on Wednesday that can give us a read on the new normal. First, General Mills. All right, we're in a stay-at-home economy. You can hear a lot about that from me. So Mills should be making a killing here. Then the other two are retailers. Wow, is retail under fire? Williams-Sonoma and Five Below. Williams-Sonoma has a terrific online business. How's that holding up? Five Below is a chain that depends on impulse purchases and Chinese merchandise for the most part. Stock hit a 52-week low today because Wall Street's worried they'll miss the numbers. They didn't do such a great job in the last numbers, but they are a regional and national chain. I do like them. The stock would be flying if it weren't for all the stuff that's happening, but what does that mean? Next, don't you want to know if people have stopped going to dinner? I mean, look, you could ask me, proud owner of Bar San Miguel and co-owner of the Longshoreman. But you know what? I'd rather hear something more bigger, maybe more national. How about Darden, the owner of Olive Garden? They've got their finger on the pulse of the consumer here, and the stock's been crushed. It's down 40% year to date. Unfortunately, that might make sense in the middle of a pandemic. We're going to find out. How about housing? I keep hearing that it's now slowing. Housing stocks did badly in today's rally. Let's see what Lennar, one of my favorite home builders, has to say when they report Thursday morning. It's always a good conference call. And then we also get results from one of my favorite companies that no one likes to talk about. And a lot of that, I think, is because the spell check always makes it come out as CAN instead of ACN. Just kidding, but think about that. Accenture, I think, is going to have a real good quarter. Companies need Accenture to digitize, and they're great at doing it. They also have a good read on how many deals are closing and how slow business has gotten. How hard is it to close a deal in the era of COVID-19? If Accenture says it's down big, I see all of tech getting hammered. After the close CrowdStrike reports, and this cybersecurity star has been clobbered, I think the work-from-home thesis includes CrowdStrike because they keep these new offsite channels safe. I'd be a buyer. Finally, on Friday, we get existing home sales. We'll need an upbeat number to justify any potential rebound in retail or housing. But are we going to get one? I mean, it's certainly, if we don't get some sort of fiscal deal, if we don't get something between Mnuchin and Pelosi and get it soon, then I got to tell you, it's going to look like this, even if the testing looks like this and COVID looks like this. That's kind of off the charts there. Let's go to Chris in New Jersey. Chris. Chris.
Oh, yeah, Jim. Your team.
Thank you
for doing a great job. We spoke a month and a half ago, and people will stay home right now. And do you think with the expiration already happened, do you think that will benefit Peloton, PTON?
You know what? That's an overdone thesis. I know people want to do it, but it's just too simple. And we have to be far more nuanced than that. It sounds too good to be true, and it is. Andrew in New York. Andrew.
Hi, Jim. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
I'm an investor with a 30-plus year time horizon. Since the market has come down pretty significantly, would it be best for me to front-load my 401k to the IRS max of $19,500 right now instead of dollar?
No, we never do that. No, because that is arrogant thinking. That's arrogant thinking. That's hubris thinking. What's hubristic? Here's what you have to do. You have to space it out. No one is that good. No one is that right. We buy in a scale on the way down. We don't just go in a chunk. Do not front load. You can pick 2 months of it, maybe even 3 months of it, but that's about all. All right, the world has changed. It's changed so much that I didn't even give you my bottom line, which is how difficult this next week's going to be. If Mnuchin and Pelosi don't agree and we don't get a good number from Coupa and we get bad virus numbers. So there, that's the bottom line. The key metrics for this market are new coronavirus infections. So stay cautious. Hey, old man, tonight, I'm keeping you up with the race for COVID-19 vaccine. I know, year and a half. Can we just even think about something that may just mitigate it? Then with stocks rallying today from their worst day in more than 30 years with one of the best days in more than 30 years, I have to figure out what the hell's going on with the Fear Index. I'm going off the charts to find out. And as COVID-19 continues to spread and off-site working increases, could a work-at-home stock like, I want to tease it, except for I already mentioned it, DocuSign make sense? I've got the CEO. So stay with Cramer.
Don't miss a second of Mad Money. Follow at Jim Cramer on Twitter. Have a question? Tweet Cramer. Hashtag Mad Tweets. Send Jim an email to madmoney@cnbc.com or give us a call at 1-800-743-CNBC. Miss something? Head to madmoney.cnbc.com.
Small business owners are always passionate about their work, and they have a lot on the line. Let Verizon help champion your small business dream. Whether you own a small business or scaling one or starting one from scratch, you need Verizon Small Business Days. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. During Verizon Small Business Days, you can receive a free tech check with a one-on-one meeting with a Verizon business expert. Plus, Verizon business experts will provide you with personalized advice and solutions that are tailored to your specific small business needs. Take advantage of special offers and deals during Verizon Small Business Days and get more for your business. Verizon has your back. Don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Mad Money. Just go to Indeed.com/Mad Money right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Mad Money. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Even after the president's press conference today, which sent the averages soaring by short squeeze into the close, we have to be aware that the coronavirus is still in control of this market. And if we see a bunch of new cases over the weekend, the averages will give up many of this gain, especially the last few percent. What could really change that dynamic? What makes it so it just stays up? Well, if somebody comes up with something that can manage the disease, get people out of the hospital faster, or even ward off the disease one day via vaccine, which brings me to Eli Lilly. Yesterday, they announced a partnership with AbCellera to develop a monoclonal antibody-based therapy for COVID-19. That could be a very big deal if it works. So let's take a closer look with David Ricks. Dave is the chairman and CEO of Eli Lilly. Dave, welcome back to Mad Money.
Great to be with you, Jim, today.
Well, first, thank you so much for coming on such short notice. Dave, can you give us the substance of what could happen here? Because the science seems very complex, but the companies that are involved, yours and AbCellera, seem to be up to it.
Well, there are many approaches that are going on across the pharmaceutical industry and partnerships with biotech and academic researchers. This is one of them. We signed and announced a deal yesterday with AbCellera, as you said. Their approach is to take antibodies, which are the body's own response to a virus like this, and they actually isolated antibodies from one of the first survivors, people to recover from coronavirus in the U.S., they screen those antibodies for the ones that could be active against the virus. And now we're partnering to find the very best one, potentially modify it so it's more like a drug, and then scale up production and manufacturing so we can test it in clinical trials and bring it to the marketplace.
Well, Dave, let me ask you. There are a lot of people who are saying the reason why this thing's a very hard thing to beat, and one of them is because there are apparently 294 variants of COVID-19 so far discovered, and that they're all different. They each have their own characteristics, so it doesn't lend itself to what you're doing. Is this thing too hard to crack?
I don't think so. I think there will be solutions that will make a difference for treating patients. Of course, there are separate approaches to vaccinate, which will take more time because you need to test those in healthy people. But it may take more than one medicine to help people recover for the sickest that get the disease. But we're starting this because we believe it can work. And by starting with the very material that helps someone survive, we think it's a good starting place to find an antibody or a cocktail of antibodies that could be given to patients when they do become sick. One thing I want to mention as well, Jim, is the speed at which this is unfolding is unprecedented in our industry. Literally, AbCellera started this work 11 days ago. We signed the deal today. We hope to be in a clinical trial this summer.
Well, that is extraordinary. This would be a couple-year project just to get there, typically. Now, Len Schleifer is a friend of the show, at Regeneron. He's talking about being able to produce 200,000 preventative doses per month starting at the end of summer. What do you think you could produce?
Yeah, we would be in a similar range. I'm not so worried at this point about the capacity to produce doses. Again, this medicine, and it's a similar approach to Regeneron, would first be used in those that are in intensive care units and hospitals. And those numbers hopefully would not rise very much above that level you just described. For most people, they won't need to go to the hospital, but eventually these kind of treatments, these antibodies, should be given as a preventative to those that are most at risk, for instance, nursing home patients and others with complicating factors like diabetes and hypertension.
Hey, Dave, you're a very common sensical guy, and you're probably, I often say to doctors, the guy who's most in touch with America as a CEO in the pharmaceutical industry. This thing's a little scary to everybody. And maybe you can just describe what you, a medical person, are doing to keep your people who work at Eli Lilly as safe as possible. Because, you know, Dave, I've never seen Americans as scared as they are right now.
Yeah, and I think people should be concerned, but not frightened. This is a highly transmissible virus, but most people who get it do not get very sick. The young in particular don't seem to be affected, and that's very reassuring. But 8 out of 10 who are confirmed with the virus in other countries, we know, have not gotten severely ill. So I think that should be reassuring. That said, we need to protect the healthcare system and those that are at risk. And as a result, we've approached this problem by really prioritizing two things. First, the safety of our employees, and then secondly, keeping our employees who have to be coming to work to make medicine, which is a critical responsibility we have, keep them able to come to the office. So we're now in a full work-from-home scenario. Wow. At Lilly for everyone except those that need to come and make the medicines and keep critical laboratory experiments moving. People should avoid, convening in large groups. And we should practice those common sense CDC measures like washing our hands, social distancing, coughing into our arm, et cetera, just to avoid the spread of the disease. By doing all this, we can flatten the curve, quote unquote, and preserve the healthcare resources and protect those most at risk. And I think that's everyone's responsibility, and a special one for us because we make medicines for people with diabetes, and we know they're a high-risk group. We cannot let them down by having a shortage. And the good news is we don't. We've confirmed last week even that we have a broad supply of all our medicines. We want to keep it that way.
Well, that's what I need to know, David. You and I have spoken off camera sometimes. You know, I'm the spokesperson for the American Migraine Foundation. I now this week for the first time got a notice, which is one of my drugs can't be made because it's got Chinese ingredients and it can't be delivered right now in time. How do we preserve this? This is not right, Dave.
Yeah, that's a difficult situation. Of course, most of the medicines that branded companies like mine, you know, innovative pharmaceutical companies, our supply chains don't rely on China. And for Lilly, none of our products come from China or rely on product inputs that come from China. That's why we were able to confirm for patients who use Lilly medicines, they can rely on that supply. And there's no need to stockpile or do anything different. But a lot of generic medications do rely on ingredients from around the world, including from China. I've seen the list. It's about 20 or 30 medicines. It's available at the FDA website. So that's a pretty small number still, but we'll have to track that. I think the recommendation is to talk to your doctor about other alternatives because there are alternatives in many medication classes that could be used instead and are still widely available.
Well, Dave, I want to thank you for coming on short notice. Thank you for what you're doing to help conquer this terrible disease. That's David Ricks. He's Eli Lilly chairman and CEO, and what an amazing executive. What he's done for shareholders is incredible, too. Thank you for doing what you're doing. Great to speak to you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jim. Take care.
That's David Ricks, Eli Lilly. Look, we're not talking stocks right now. He's quite a guy. Done some behind the scenes. It's as good as what you just heard. Everybody's back after break.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Fact: running a business is not getting easier on your wallet. With higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. Also a fact: smart businesses are reducing costs and headaches by graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You can cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See how you'll profit with NetSuite, and then you can think of all the ways you could be spending the money you save. Company retreat in Malibu, anyone? By popular demand, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to NetSuite.com to start saving.
Congratulations. This is now the most volatile market ever. While we've had some huge intraday swings in 2008, even back then it wasn't this dramatic. We may have gone down faster in the crash of 87, but that was almost a straight line. We weren't whipping back and forth like this. The truth is we've had more 4% plus moves in the last 10 days than in any other period in modern history. Yeah, I'm going crazy. It's the world that's going crazy. That's why tonight I want to do a special Friday edition of Off the Charts, this time with the help of Mark Sebastian. He's a brilliant technician who's the founder of OptionPit.com, as well as being my colleague at RealMoney.com, our resident volatility expert. This is one of those moments where you need to take a step back and try to look at the situation through a quantitative lens rather than an emotional lens because, wow, trading has gotten highly emotional. Even though this is the most volatile market in living history, Sebastian says the best point of comparison is, yes, the Great Recession, 2008. Now, this man is a scholar of the CBOE Volatility Index. That's the VIX for short. We also call it the fear gauge around here. And he points out that yesterday was the VIX's fourth highest close ever. The only times it ever closed higher were during the financial crisis. Makes sense. The VIX tends to go up when the averages go down and vice versa. They don't call it the fear gauge for nothing. The first and most important takeaway from that period, Sebastian says peak volatility does not mean peak sell-off, okay? Not. Meaning don't get too exuberant about today's rebound. Take a look at this pair of charts showing the S&P 500 and the volatility index back in 2008 and 2009. Back during the financial crisis, the VIX spiked dramatically in October. Okay, you're looking at the VIX here. That was the second highest close ever for the volatility index. Not long after, we got some positive data, and the S&P 500 briefly popped, only to tank again a few days later. In response, the VIX spiked again, this time climbing to its all-time high in November. Incredible. And that's when volatility peaked. But even then, it took months before the stock market could find a bottom. Volatility peaking did not equal a bottom in the stock market. Just the opposite, okay? In fact, we had some huge aftershocks that only dragged the S&P 500 down 12% lower by March of 2009. If anyone remembers, this was a brutal stretch, even though volatility had peaked. What was happening during the 4 months between the volatility peak and the bottom? While the S&P 500 continued to drift lower in fits and starts, Sebastian points out that the VIX was drifting lower, too. By the time we bottomed in March of 2009, it was down 30 points from its highs the previous November. That's why Sebastian's so insistent that peak volatility doesn't equal peak pain. When the market keeps beating the stuffing out of us, sooner or later it stops being shocking. Now let's circle back to the present. I want you to check out this pair of charts showing the S&P 500 and the VIX for 2020. You can see that as the S&P plummeted, the VIX has moved up pretty much in a straight line, okay, before closing last night at 75. If we zoom in on the action today, even as the market soared and the volatility index closed down 23%, it's still up huge over the past month. Despite recovering most of yesterday's losses, we haven't given back as much of the risk premium. The VIX was at 54 on Wednesday. It's still 58 now. That tells Sebastian what? Yes, that the smart money remains scared. If this meltdown is anything like 2008, then he thinks we have some aftershocks coming. What does an aftershock look like? Okay, after opening strong this morning, the S&P 500 briefly pulled back hard, erasing nearly all the gains. Yes, a great trading moment. While the S&P was still up oh so slightly, the volatility index didn't erase its losses for the day. It surged to a new intraday high at just under 78. Then the market rebounded hard and the VIX came back down. But for that one brief moment, the fear gauge was actually up versus yesterday. And yesterday was the worst day for the average since the crash of 87. That's not a good sign for the bulls. It tells Sebastian this rebound is built on shaky foundations, just like the last rebound and the one before that. And I keep telling you, the last half hour of today is what I call the definitive shaky foundation. I got one more pair of charts for you here. This is the volatility index on top and what's known as the VIX volatility index on the bottom, which measures the volatility of the VIX itself. What's wrong with this picture? Even though the volatility index went lower today, the VIVIX, that's what they call it, the VVIX, the VIVIX, well, what did that do? It kept surging up more than 10%. That means there's a lot of money betting that the fear gauge will continue making big outsized moves like it did yesterday. In other words, the VIVIX is saying that this period of intense volatility might not be over. The volatility index could go to new highs, and when the VIX goes up, the S&P 500 almost always goes down. What does he need to see before he can get more bullish? The VIX needs to start coming down, and the VIX needs to stop spiking every time the S&P experiences an intraday reversal. Unfortunately for the bulls, Sebastian says we just aren't there yet. which is why he expects the averages to make fresh lows at some point, probably next week even, which is why it may pay to do some selling if we get any strength on Monday, or even if we come in flat, not down 1,000 points, and we had to reconfigure. The bottom line, the charts as interpreted by Mark Sebastian, our VIX expert, suggest that today's move was, yes, the definitive dead cat bounce. Sooner or later, he thinks the market will actually be worth buying, but he's betting there'll be more pain before we find a bottom. These charts verify that. Greg in Mississippi, Greg.
Hey, Professor Kramer, thank you all for taking my call.
Of course.
My stock is United Rentals, URI. I see their equipment and construction stuff everywhere. The price to earnings is really cheap, seems like. I bought in a couple of days ago, 70 shares at $98. How would the coronavirus and the oil industry issues affect the company?
Okay, this is, Greg, a stock that you buy when you get an economic boom. If you believe that there's going to be a recession, you sell the stock nine ways to Sunday. I happen to think that's a what I regard as too binary for me. You sound like someone who's willing to take a risk. This has plenty of risk to it, obviously big reward, but too much risk for me. Let's go to Steve in Washington, please. Steve.
Booyah, Jim. Thanks Booyah. For what you do to help our fellow Americans.
Doing my best. What's going on?
Got $100K in cash, looking at Prudential Pru, down about 40% from last year's high around 106. Just what's your position on it and regarding the dividends and any other suggestions with the cash? Thank you again and appreciate it.
Prudential long-term, I've always liked it, but this doesn't seem like the old Prudential, frankly. I wish they'd come on the show. It just seems so much more risky than it used to be. Travelers is a less risky one in that department, even though that stock's not doing that well. Steve in California, please. Steve.
Jimmy.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, first, I just got to tell you something. I believe in you, and I know there's a lot of chaos out there, but I think you need to hear that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, we're gonna get through this mess
together. You bet we are. I have no doubt whatsoever. We are going to get through it, and we're going to get through it whole. What's going on?
Yes. I called you over the summer when the markets were kind of flat, and I told you I have a lot of growth stocks, but I didn't have any dividends. And you blessed me buying Starwood, and I have been buying it from the top all the way down here. And we've come a long way down, and it's been painful.
Yes.
You talked about accidental high yielders. That was a high yielder to begin with, and now we're over 10%. Are you throwing in the red flag on this one?
You know what? I listened to Barry Sternlicht, who's the CEO, talk this morning on Squawk Box. When there's really something wrong and it's not going well, you don't go on Squawk Box and say it's going right. Barry Sternlicht is a seasoned investor. I can't own stocks, but I've got to tell you, this is one accidental high yielder stock that I think is actually going to work out okay. He's a straight shooter, Barry. All right, listen. This is the most volatile market ever. And our guy, Mark Sebastian, along with some other people I know who are very familiar with the VIX gauge, say, listen, do not get complacent about this rally. If anything, it was phony. He believes that there's more pain before we bottom. I'm not going to disagree. Remember, this is about illness, and it's about lethality. Buckle up. Much more Mad Money ahead, including my exclusive with DocuSign. Now, there's a hot one. As more employees work from home, is the company uniquely positioned to benefit? Then there are tons of reasons people have to sell. But looking for a reason to buy, I'm going to tell you what you should be focused on. And all your calls rapid fire in tonight's edition of The Lightning Round. So stay with Kramer. We are trying to make sense of things for you here tonight in the face of this incredibly difficult but panicky tape. I like to buy hysteria, not sell it. I like to buy panic, not sell it. We don't advocate panic because it's not a strategy. There are two kinds of companies in the blast zone. The ones that are at risk and the ones that are really at risk. What bounces best? That's what you must be thinking about at this point. What a day. We have your back and we'll get through this together. Stocks surged into the close, but even after a nearly 2,000-point run, we still need to adjust to the new stay-at-home economy. And that means circling the wagons around companies that could actually benefit as more people work from home. I'm talking about companies like DocuSign. That's a maker of software tools that help business digitally prepare, execute, and act on agreements. You want electronic signature on that contract? DocuSign, it's a verb. Here's a stock that's been a huge winner for the better part of 2 years before the coronavirus came along and the whole market melted down. Then last night, DocuSign reported fantastic quarter with incredibly bullish guidance, and the stock caught fire today. It jumped more than 12%. They're expanding beyond electronic signatures into a whole suite of digital document preparation software. And I think this pandemic will push us further into the digitization of everything, as well as strengthening the stay-at-home economy. Can the stock keep rebounding? Let's check in with Dan Springer, the CEO of DocuSign, to get a better sense of the quarter and where his company's headed. Mr. Springer, welcome to Mad Money.
Thanks for having me.
Sir, you have had a stock that we have loved for a long time on Mad Money. It's one of the hottest stocks on the planet. But this is your first time on the show. So I'd like you to introduce our viewers who haven't used your product to say and tell us what you do.
Absolutely. Well, most people, of course, know DocuSign for the leadership position we've always had in e-signature. And that really is what brought us to the dance and how most people associate with the business. But increasingly, we've really broadened that to what we call the agreement cloud. So in addition to the signature, we've built products that allow people to prepare agreements, go through that signing process they know and love with DocuSign, and then manage those agreements afterwards. And that's the core of really what the DocuSign Agreement Cloud provides.
Now, I just finished using DocuSign about a half hour ago to buy a house. And I didn't have
to go
anywhere. And it was terrific. But it was even more terrific because I'm so fearful of the virus that it was a delight to not have to go and meet everyone, even though everybody around the table is likable people. You have changed the way people buy things, correct?
That is absolutely true. And, of course, the use case you just described with real estate is really part of what brought us on the map. And if you think about the largest real estate companies that are all DocuSign customers, they really have enabled their end customers to have that fantastic experience you described. Even better in a heightened sense of awareness right now. But in general, a lot of people love that convenience of being able to DocuSign and go and get out there and back to doing the things they love.
No, you're right. I mean, look, fortunately, my wife's in real estate, and we've done a number of acquisitions. This is the first one I was able to do while I was doing my job. So thank you. I'm not the only one. The revenue numbers here are extraordinary, plus 38. Billings are accelerating, plus 40. 589,000 worldwide customers? I mean, this is rather remarkable in a period where a lot of companies are really seeing a slowdown. You're seeing acceleration?
We are. We've seen our business perform very well throughout the year, and we're excited about the year ahead as well. If you think about the source of that strength, I think it's two things. One is there is this digital transformation that large companies are doing, but we also see for the small customers, because we really one of the few software businesses that go from the largest Fortune 500 companies down to mom-and-pop businesses. That's how we get to that 589,000 customers you alluded to. And we're seeing that efficiency of really taking all of the agreements that they have, putting them online, making that digital, is driving our tremendous growth.
Well, one of the things that I was really encouraged by talk about is we all know we pay a lot of legal fees. And we wish we didn't, but it's done by the hour. One large international information services company reduced the time they spent on legal reviews by 75%. That must have meant that they saved hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yes, it's interesting. You know, the efficiency, the ROI of using DocuSign is a big part of why so many people come to us. But even more, I think, than the efficiency from the savings of the legal fees you described and the hours of their in-house legal team, it's the customer experience. So now, whether it's their internal employees or their end customers, they're having that fast, efficient experience, similar to what you described with buying a home. And that is oftentimes the biggest driver for our customers and the biggest value they receive by bringing their agreements online with DocuSign.
Well, that's right up the companies I deal with, Ali, who are trying to figure out how to get their gross margins higher, which is what we all want. An aviation company reviews more than 25,000 agreements in just a few business days. That's a month-long project.
Yeah, if you were doing that with a manual process, and by the way, when we talk about manual processes, that's really what we talk about as competition. We say our competition is paper and those traditional manual processes people want to get away from because it's harder on their business, it's harder on their customers, it's also harder on the environment when you're shipping those agreements around. But that kind of savings that you're describing there, it would have been an army of paralegals reviewing all 25,000 of those customers, would have taken them months, and it would not be the quick, fast experience they get with DocuSign.
I know that you have a large total addressable market. It looks like from the acquisition, you could be doubling the total addressable market size.
Yeah, so we've talked about the TAM for the DocuSign e-signature business when we went public almost 2 years ago as being about a $25 billion TAM. As we add the rest of that agreement cloud that I was describing earlier, and that's the preparing agreements and managing agreements, we see that gets to approximately double that. So we think that is substantial. We're really pleased, though, if you take a look at the CLM side of our business, some came from the acquisition of SpringCM, we've already moved to a leadership position there. In fact, Gartner just came out with their new CLM quadrant, and they have us one of the leaders at the top of that. So I think we see the opportunity for us to parlay that strength and signature to the broader agreement processes is off to a great start.
Okay. Has there been I know that you're not a profiteer, and I know that, and you made that very clear, but has there been an uptick since the coronavirus?
So here's what we've seen. I think we're going to be like a lot of other companies, that if there is a significant economic slowdown, even with that high ROI you just alluded to, we, like all businesses, will, of course, feel that to some extent. But we also have a really powerful tailwind. And if you think about the digital transformation and people trying to move things digital, I think something like Corona might accelerate that a little bit.
Right.
In the last week, we have seen a few companies, to your point, call us and say, can we accelerate some activities? We would have done anyway, but we really want to be ready to more work from home. Or as you show on your show, you talk about this concept of the stay-at-home sort of stocks. And I think that we have a component of that. But again, our focus is just delivering that value to our customers. And the last thing we want to do is profiteer, as you said, from a horrible human health situation like this. But if it helps our customers accelerate their path, we're going to be supportive of that.
Well, Dan Springer, CEO of DocuSign, congratulations on everything you've done. We all love you, use it, because you save us our time, too. Thank you so much for coming on Mad Money.
All right. Thanks for having us.
You got the ultimate stay-at-home stock for both corporate and individual. This story is going higher. Mad Money's back after the break. It is time. It is time for the lightning round. And then the lightning round is over. Are you ready, Skinny Dad? It's time for the lightning round. Because we're going to start with Bob in Michigan. Bob.
Jim, it's a pleasure to talk to my hero.
You're very kind. What's going on?
Last October, you were very upbeat about Bed Bath & Beyond and their new CEO. I bought a bunch of the stock for my granddaughter's college fund. I was wondering, I'd like to get more. Are you still positive about it?
Well, you know, it's got a 920. First of all, retail's been pretty horrible, so let's give it that. Got a $925 million market cap, but it's $1.5 billion in cash. There's $1.5 billion in debt, but the maturities aren't for later in time. So basically, you're buying this thing for much less than cash. So I think it's okay. The problem is, of course, retail is hated. Let's go to Johnny in Pennsylvania. Johnny.
Jim, I'm calling from Villanova, Pennsylvania, with my 17-year-old grandson Johnny.
I like to
hear. Manages a portfolio for us and has a question.
Put Johnny on.
Booyah, Mr. Kramer.
Booyah.
Love the show. Watch you every day after school.
Thank you.
We got a break down in our portfolio. What do you think?
Sell and hold.
Which one was it?
Raytheon.
Oh, Raytheon, the merger with, I believe the merger with United Technologies, except for I only want the Raytheon portion. So, yeah, I think the Raytheon's okay. I don't want Otis, by the way, and I certainly do not want Carrier. So I like your idea, and congratulations for thinking big at as young as you are. Pete, New Jersey, Pete.
Hey, Jim. Thank you very much for bringing a sense of calm in all these crazy times that you always do.
Sure darn trying. Thank you.
I want to get your opinion. I know a lot of things are on sale right now, but what do you think of General Dynamics?
It's good. You know, you're basically betting that that President Trump is going to win a second term. Because if the Democrats get in, I do not think you're going to be able to expect that you're going to have military appropriations as big as you get with this current president. Let's go with John in Pennsylvania. John.
Hey, Kramer. Hey,
how you doing?
Churchill Downs, their Christmas is the Kentucky Derby. 160,000 people from around the world go there. What happens to the stock if they cancel?
Holy cow. Well, that's why the stock fell so dramatically. it's a binary stock. If they cancel, it's like what happened to CBS when March Madness canceled. It's a bad place to be. I don't like binary situations. They're too hard for this guy. Let's go to Chad in Louisiana. Chad.
Yeah. Booyah, Jim.
Booyah, Chad.
Yeah, my stock is Allscripts Healthcare, MDRX.
Yeah, what the heck is going wrong with that thing? This is electronic records keeping, and it has just been destroyed. And there's huge insider buying. Let's get the CEO on, who just bought a ton of stock. And that, ladies and gentlemen, conclusion of the Lightning Round.
The Lightning Round is sponsored by TD Ameritrade.
Few things are tougher than reevaluating stocks on the fly. You're trying to figure out what to pay for something. You arrive at a price via rational analysis. Then some panic seller comes in and takes out the price in a heartbeat. Suddenly your rational analysis means nothing. And that's what happened yesterday, and it led to some great trades today. Believe me, though, this Thursday down, Friday up cycle will happen many times until we liquidate this scourge. It's always shocking when sellers are willing to dump something for less than you'd be willing to pay for it, isn't it? That was the case yesterday. It makes you feel like your homework was worthless. Why bother figuring out what a stock is worth when your fellow shareholders, especially the algorithmic renters, don't even care anymore? Simple. Because it's always worth figuring out what you should be willing to pay. In times of stress, you have to realize there'll be plenty of sellers who aren't thinking rationally. They just want out, either to stop the pain or because they need to give the money back to their clients, or maybe some algorithmic setup makes them says sell, sell, sell. We saw that all day yesterday, and we even saw it during the vicious dip today, which was a great buying opportunity. The truth is, there are a ton of reasons why people sell into the teeth of a market-wide meltdown. There's only one reason to buy, because you think the stock's only going to go up. But that doesn't mean it's going up immediately, so you better leave room to buy more into weakness caused by your panicked fellow shareholders. We're not yet at the point where we can trust a snapback rally like we had this afternoon. Why? Because we're still not getting any good news or numbers on the coronavirus front, even though the testing process now looks like it'll be expedited. But near the end of yesterday's shellacking, I know I got that sense of, oh my, what happens if something positive occurs? We don't own anything for the charitable trust. I look at the price after the close and said to myself, man, what I wouldn't have done to be able to get those prices on the way up. Of course, we're not on the way up anymore, other than the squeeze at the end of the day. Still, I think it's worth going over the concept of valuation for a moment. First things first, inflation. We don't have any. In fact, the price of gold is telling us we have deflation with its decline this week. And in times of deflation, you should be willing to pay more for a company's earnings estimates in the out years. Deflation means a dollar 5 years from now will have more purchasing power than that same dollar today. So will a stock. Now, we have tons of businesses where the estimates are still realistic. That includes everything from the hypergrowth tech plays, like we saw with DocuSign, to the utilities. They deserve higher price earnings multiples than they were getting a month ago, because their relative consistent earnings should be worth a lot more once the smoke clears. Most important, we have a real binary situation with this pandemic. As long as the coronavirus keeps spreading at an exponential pace, I think stocks will give up some of these gains. This feels a lot like one of those short squeezes we saw in 2008, whenever TARP looked good or a bank was saved. Then we got bad news and a quick give up that was even worse than the run-up. The moment we get the outbreak contained, I see the averages exploding higher because there will be so much stimulus pumped into the global economy from governments all over the world. It's going to be painful until then. That's why I still think you have to buy things on the way down, for instance, on Monday when we have a big give up. When we get a handle on the situation one day, one way or another, it will be too late to get back in. Once this thing is beaten, you want to look back and say, you know what? I bought when no one believed. Right now, even after the huge afternoon run, I think very few people believed and they thought the close was phony. There was a lot of phoniness about it. There wasn't even enough time to get your sellers out there as you probably should have. I think they'll probably keep not believing for longer than we'd like. But since we have no idea when the pain will stop, you have to prepare for a possible bottom. That's why I keep telling you to buy high-quality accidental high yielders and fast-growing techs on the way down. And I'm confident you can ride out with diversification this whole thing with me together. Stick with Kramer. Look, I know at the end of the day, it felt real good if you were a bull. But until you don't have to do this anymore, every 15, 20 minutes, I'll tell you, we're in for a long, long up and down ride. See, this is what has to change, not the stock prices. We don't have this thing under control yet. It was terrific to see all these executives get together. I like a lot of the ideas that the president did. Some of them were suggested by me, so I guess I like them. But we are not, and we even like the fact that Nancy Pelosi seems to agree with Steve Mnuchin on some plan that is going to pump money into the economy to save the working person. But you know what? Until we get this under control, stop worrying, you're going to see a lot more days like yesterday, and I believe fewer days like today. I want you to think about that next time we have a big rally. You lighten up so you're ready when we get days like yesterday, because they're going to be more prevalent, I believe, because there's too much not great ahead. Like I said, there's always a bull market summer. I promise I'll find it just for you right here on Mad Money. I'm Jim Cramer, and I'll see you Monday. Our special Markets and Turmoil starts right now.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.